It is March 7th, and I welcome you to the First Presbyterian Church of Westerville, Ohio, as we live stream this service this morning. We are a congregation of the Presbyterian Church USA and a member of the Presbytery of Scioto Valley. We are located at 41 West College Avenue in Uptown Westerville. I am the Reverend Mark Gowan. I am pastor here at First Presbyterian, and I will be leading worship today. We have Lynn Meyer playing the organ and the piano today, and Heather Hicks will be our liturgist and also do the especially for children for us this morning. If you are visiting with us this morning, I invite you to post a note on Facebook so that we know that you are here. And if you would like to learn more about our church, you may contact the church via Facebook or by calling our church office, 614-882-3155. We are glad that you are with us this morning, and if you are watching this service live, you are invited to join our your fellow worshipers for our Zoom coffee hour, which happens immediately after the service this morning. A link to the coffee hour has been posted on our Facebook page. Today we have several announcements to share. First of all, the flowers over there by the lectern are given this morning by Sherry and Jean Monteith in honor of Girl Scout Sunday. And the rose in front of me here celebrates the birth of Reed Michael Fredrickson, born to Peter and Leanne Fredrickson on March 2nd, the grandson of Eric and Marge Fredrickson, and everyone is doing well. Today we will celebrate communion in worship. You are invited to prepare the elements of juice and bread for yourself in your homes so that you can participate in the communion. Of course, you are welcome to use that time of the service for prayer and meditation as well. We are have our new sound system installed and have been for a while, but we are still learning how to use it, and so we welcome your feedback on if there's any problems with our sound during the service. You are invited this week to join the Dine Out group, which meets by Zoom on the second Friday of each month. So this month it'll be Friday, March 12th at 7 p.m. We invite you to handle your own food by either picking up or having food delivered from a restaurant or even just making your own, and then get on Zoom to join your fellow diners for a Zoom time together. If you want more information on this, you may call the church office. And now I'm going to invite Lynn to play the prelude, and her music this morning is called I Lay My Sins on Jesus. Thank you.
Thank you, Lynn, for that lovely piece of music. Let us be called to worship. Come, we are on a journey of faith during this season of Lent. It is such a difficult journey, and our strength is waning and our courage low. But we do not travel alone. We travel as a community. We gain our strength by leaning on others. We find our courage by walking with friends. The road we travel has many turns, and we have no map. Let Christ be our guide, for he has traveled the road. He holds a path and a light to that path. Let us journey and worship together. Will you pray with me? Great God, you have called us forth as your people to honor and serve you. You have made a covenant with us that we might live in harmony with you and with each other. We confess, O God, that we have done neither. Instead of seeking unity, we have fostered disunity. Instead of working in cooperation, we have forced our own way. Instead of obeying you, we have obeyed our own selfishness. And all the while, you have kept covenant with us. Forgive us and set us straight. Help us to build up our relationships with each other and with you. Amen. God loves us and forgives us. God gives us the chance to begin anew. Thanks be to God. Amen. I'm now speaking to all of the youngsters inside each of us, whether you're actually physically young or you've still got that inner child within you. This week, Pastor Mark and I talked, and we talked about how today's sermon is going to be about sanctuary. And so I thought that was a good thing to talk about, because at the very beginning of COVID, I did a video for our children, which I will post to the Facebook page again today so that you all can see it, for our young friends. And it talks about creating sanctuary at home. And when I was in seminary, that school for ministers or people who want to be ministers, for those of you who don't know, I talked with someone about sanctuary. What is sanctuary? Well, we have this beautiful sanctuary here in our church. It's a place where we come to worship. It's a place where we come to pray. It's a place that we set aside so that we can be close to God. Do you remember last week I talked about repenting, and so how turning away from God and repenting is turning back toward God? Return? Well, this is a wonderful place to do that, to turn our attention back on God after a long week. Maybe we've gotten away from God. But when we're not here because of COVID, what can we do? And that video that I made talks a little bit about how to create a sacred space in our homes. But I also wanted to talk about the sanctuary that's right here, that is each and every one of us. Paul talks about how we are a temple for God, for the Spirit of God. And, you know, sometimes we don't always take very good care of ourselves, do we? But if we're a temple for God, and we want to invite God into us, into our hearts, into our minds, into our souls, then we got to make sure that we're taking good care of what God has given to us, our bodies, our minds, every part of us. So that means that we got to brush our teeth and eat healthy foods. It means we need to go to the doctor. And I'm sure a lot of your parents or grandparents, or maybe even your teachers or doctors, they're getting an immunization right now for COVID. Not everybody can do that just yet, but we're all doing that so that we can take care of what we already have. So a sanctuary doesn't just have to be someplace like this or a spot in your home, although it can be those things, but we can have God right here with us all the time. So let's go to God in prayer. Almighty and loving God, we thank you for creating us to be a sanctuary. And we thank you, oh God, that you give us the ability to connect with you through our heart, through our mind, through our soul. And we thank you, oh God, that you continue to teach us and lead us and guide us, but especially that you are with us when we're feeling lonely, when we're feeling happy, when we're feeling sad. No matter what, you are right here in our hearts. And we just love you, oh God, and we thank you so much for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Heather. Our first scripture lesson this morning is from the Old Testament book of Ezekiel, the 11th chapter, beginning at the 14th verse. Hear now these words. Then the word of the Lord came to me, "Mortal, your kinsfolk, your own kin, your fellow exiles, the whole house of Israel, all of them, are those of whom the inhabitants of Jerusalem have said, 'They have gone far from the Lord. To us this land is given for a possession.' Therefore say, 'Thus says the Lord God, though I have removed them far away from the nations, and though I scattered them among the countries, yet I have been a sanctuary to them for a little while in the countries where they have gone. Therefore say, thus says the Lord, I will gather you from the peoples and assemble you out of the countries where you have been scattered. I will give you the land of Israel. And when they come there, they will remove from it all its detestable things and all its abominations. I will give them one heart and put a new spirit within them. I will remove the heart of stone from their flesh and give them a heart of flesh, so that they may follow my statutes and keep my ordinances and obey them. And then they shall be my people, and I will be their God. But as for those whose heart goes after their detestable things and their abominations, I will bring their deeds upon their own heads, says the Lord God." Here ends our reading from Ezekiel. Thanks be to God. And turning to the New Testament, to the book of Hebrews, the 10th chapter, beginning at the 19th verse. "Therefore, my friends, since we have confidence to enter the sanctuary by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened up for us through the curtain that is through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us approach with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. Let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." Here ends our second lesson. Let us pray. O Lord God, we thank you for the gift of Scripture, and as we open that gift this morning, may your Spirit guide my words and all of our thoughts, that they might be acceptable in your sight. Amen. I was reading the other day, and I learned that a panda will eat for approximately 12 hours a day, which I also read is the same as a person at home under quarantine. That is why they call it a pandemic. Okay, sometimes you just have to joke about it. I mean, did you hear about the guy who started a new job in January 2020? They told him the year would pass by quickly. He just didn't realize that it would zoom by. Oh yeah, ba-bum. Okay. One more. If someone had asked me a year ago if I thought our church would ever start broadcasting its worship services, I would have told him it wasn't even remotely possible. Okay, that's enough. But what is true is that we have learned to do a lot of things remotely this past year. Remote learning, remote meetings, remote doctor visits, and remote worship. We are coming up on the 1 year anniversary of the lockdown. And I thought that I would use this Lent to explore what the pandemic and all that has happened with it has meant to our faith and where God has been in all this. And one of the things that has been most affected by the pandemic has been worship. I read this week where it is estimated that more than 90% of U.S. congregations of all denominations have been broadcasting worship services at least some of the time over the past year. I think it is a sign of the church's adaptability and its resilience and, of course, of modern technology. Broadcasting has taken many forms, live streaming over Facebook like we do, or live streaming over other services. Tape services posted on YouTube or elsewhere on the internet. Interactive services on Zoom or other meeting platforms. And there are even a few churches that televise their worship services over the cable networks. It is all part of the church's response to the disruption caused by the pandemic. We at First Presbyterian have been blessed with the ability to live stream our services, and while it has been challenging at times, and we are still learning how to do it, it has been one way that we have stayed connected as a community. And we are continuing to improve our system and our methods. And it seems to work. We have about 150 screens tuned into our services each week. About 40 of those screens are viewing the services live. The rest watch the service sometime during the week. Occasionally, someone will share the service on their Facebook page, and then the views can often balloon up to 200 or more for that week. Now, I say screens because that's all that Facebook tells us. And it's hard for us to determine how many people are behind those screens and how long they have watched the service, because some may only watch for a few minutes before moving on to something else, and that shows up as a visit on our page. Or one screen may actually represent two or more people watching from their home. Still, it would seem that as many people are watching our service online as we had attending our services when we were in person. And so we can be thankful for that. And you might want to know that we had 300 visits to our Ash Wednesday service and almost 1,000 visits to our Christmas Eve service. And many who watch our services are nowhere near Westerville. Snowbirds in Florida attend our services. Our members have relatives and friends who are tuning in from wherever they are. We even have a attender who has watched in from Canada. This new form of church is proving its benefits for the parish and the parishioner. But there is a nagging question out there. Can we be together with God when we aren't gathered in the sanctuary? This is an underlying question for the remote church. And as I thought about this question, our passage from Ezekiel came to mind. Here the prophet is speaking for God to the people of Israel who have been forced into exile by the Babylonian armies. At the time, the faith of Israel was centered at the temple in Jerusalem. It was God's house, and thus they had the idea that the temple was where they could find God, the only place they could find God. But now they were in a foreign land and had not any access to the temple, or they thought, to God. So in the midst of their disorientation, their isolation, and their uncertainty, the prophet says to these exiled Israelites, "Thus says the Lord God, though I removed them far away from among the nations, and though I scattered them among the countries, yet I have been a sanctuary to them for a little while in the countries where they have gone." The theological implications of this statement are striking. God was present with them even in exile. The sanctuary, the place where they could worship God, was not limited to one place, one location. But God declared it was anywhere, because God was anywhere. And this is not a new concept for us, but for these ancient Israelites, it was. And then when I thought about it, it is in some ways a new concept for us at all as well. We are used to worshiping in a place, our sanctuary. It's not that we haven't worshiped elsewhere as a congregation. We have worshiped outdoors. We worshiped in the library on Easter sunrise. We have worshiped in our fellowship hall. But even as we have worshiped in these other places, I think that we have always thought of the sanctuary as the real place to worship. These other worship places were novel and interesting, but they're only temporary, and they're not really the place to worship God. And then comes Ezekiel, who says that God declares that the sanctuary, the place of refuge, the place to worship, is not just in the temple, but anywhere you are, because God is the sanctuary and God is everywhere. God is the refuge. God is the focus of worship any place you are, including while exiled in a foreign land or quarantined in a home. Last March, we were forced out of our sanctuary and we have had to find a new place to worship. And that place became our homes, our place of exile. And we have discovered that though we have been scattered, God is still our sanctuary. The great 20th century theologian Dietrich Bonhoeffer once said, "Home is a kingdom of its own in the midst of the world, a refuge amid life's storms and stresses, a refuge, even a sanctuary." We are discovering that our homes are a sanctuary. For many of us, home has been the refuge from the pandemic and the sanctuary where we can find and worship God. Thus, we have made our homes into sanctuaries, as Heather alluded to in her children's message. Many of us have even set aside a place in our home as a worship center, a certain table in the home that now has a cross on it and maybe a candle. The Bible might sit there as a source, and a source of music might be nearby. The laptop is moved into that space on Sundays so that this worship service can be watched in that special place. Some of us have done that. Some of us have just made the ordinary places of their home the place where they experience the worship of God. We are learning what Ezekiel told the ancient Israelites, that where we are, God is. And where God is, there is sanctuary, even in our homes. We are learning that we can worship in different ways and in different places. We are learning how to be a faith community under these conditions. Our passage from Hebrews speaks to the community dimension of our worship in these conditions. When the author writes, "Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. And let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day approaching." Here, the author of Hebrews is encouraging the community of faith to be a true community. Provoke each other to do love and good deeds and encouraging one another, which is the hallmark of the Christian community, that we are better as individuals when we are together as a community. for it is in community that we make each other better. And then there is the command in the middle of all that that says, not neglecting to meet together. Meeting together in the early church meant gathering around the Lord's table. It was here, at this table, that the community was joined with each other and with Christ. We continue to reenact this meal, and in doing this, in our separated ways, we have become more aware and more appreciative of the myriad of meanings captured in this sacrament. Presbyterian pastor and former moderator of the General Assembly, Bruce Reyes Chow, has found this electronic communion to be something special. He said, "We have stood behind wooden tables and spoken metaphorically about the expansive nature of Christ. But for me, having communion online every Sunday has been a liberating experience that makes the expansive nature of God real. It is more than I could have imagined. Is the table just for those people who stand physically around it? Or is it for those who gather around a curated hybrid space and the table is there? Consider how the pandemic time has informed your understanding of both the communion table and the body of Christ and how people are connected to each other." We tend to think of these broadcast services and the pandemic situation that brought them on in terms of what we are missing. But Reyes Chow challenges us to consider them in terms of what is added. Who is now benefiting from our broadcast worship? Who are we now connected to that we weren't before? In what new ways are we able to understand God? And how can we be connected to God in ways we couldn't even imagine a year ago? When we do our communion liturgy this morning, I invite you to think about those who are gathered around this table electronically and include them in your prayers today. Someday, we will return to worship in this sanctuary, and when we do so, we'll be taking some of our pandemic learnings with us. Some of the learnings will be practical, like continuing to broadcast our services so that those who cannot be with us in person can participate. And some will be spiritual, like having a greater awareness of the presence of God wherever we are and in whatever we are doing. And we will see ourselves as part of a community of faith that is not limited by the walls of this building. And it will all be good.
Thank you.
Lord, hear our prayers. God of wisdom, your word revives our soul. You give us a spring of water gushing up to eternal life. Grant us grace to see and follow Jesus, to offer his compassion to those in need, to walk in the steps of his zeal for justice, that we may worship you in spirit and in truth. God of grace, you call on us to repent, to endure, and to hope. Strengthen us that we may work always for the common good. We confess that though we look for sin in others, we are reluctant to examine ourselves. We are caught up in the worldly wisdom and forget your words. We complain about our troubles and fail to see your gifts. Have patience with us and nurture us that we may grow in love. God, you gave our ancestors water from the rock and shield them from harm in the desert. Protect us now from fear and doubt. Give us water that leads to eternal life. Bring us into your peace through Jesus Christ. Pour your spirit into your church that it may remain faithful to your word and united in love. Guide the leaders of the nations that they may love justice and work for the good of all. Teach us the way of peace that we might live in love and reconciliation with all peoples. Comfort the lonely and those who sorrow. Heal the sick and those in despair. Give us compassion for the needy and those who suffer injustice. Receive our thanks for your goodness to us, and especially the invitation to share a meal at your table. With your blessings, we pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, we are invited to gather around this table. And as I suggested in our sermon, that this table is surrounded by a whole host. And we are together with Christ amongst the faithful. Please join me in the great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you and also with you. Lift up your hearts, we lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. Therefore, holy God, we praise you. Let the heavens and earth be glad. We bless you for creating the whole world and for your promises to your people Israel, and for Jesus Christ in whom your fullness dwells. Born of Mary, he shares our life. Eating with sinners, he welcomes us. Guiding his children, he leads us. Dying on the cross, he saves us. Risen from the dead, he gives new life. Living with you, he prays for us. With thanksgiving, we take this bread and this cup and proclaim the death and resurrection of our Lord. Receive our sacrifice of praise. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon us that this meal may be a communion in the body and blood of our Lord. Make us one with Christ and with all who share this meal. Unite us in faith. Encourage us with hope. Inspire us with love, that we may serve as your faithful disciples until we feast at your table in glory. We praise you, eternal God, through Christ, your word made flesh, and under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. And so, at his last meal, Jesus gathered with his disciples, and there, after having given thanks, he took the bread and he broke it and said, This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, he took the cup and said, This is the cup of the new covenant, My blood shed for all. As often as you take this bread and share this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. And so doing as Christ commands, we receive the bread and the cup and give thanks as we do. Let us pray. Great and wonderful God, you have gathered us around this table, even though we are scattered. May our connection continue through you. And in sharing this meal, may we be bound to one another and to you. And may we share the good news of Christ's love with the world. Amen. And now I invite you to go in peace. Go with the blessings of God and the power of the Holy Spirit this day and always. Amen.